There are any number of hot races this election season, but there is a bitterly contested battle every fall amongst the top college football programs. This week's rankings show that Ohio State is number one by an almost unanimous vote, which is not exactly surprising. Ohio State's football tradition incorporates all-time greats like Coach Woody Hayes and two-time Heisman Trophy winner Archie Griffin. With quarterback Troy Smith and wide receiver Ted Ginn Jr., this year's team is undefeated and appears to be headed for a showdown with arch-rival Michigan for the Big Ten title and a shot at the national championship. Tim May has covered OSU football for more than 20 years. He's with the Columbus Dispatch. He's with us here at the Cosi Theater in Columbus. Nice to have you with us on the program today.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
And before we get too far ahead of ourselves, is there anybody on the Buckeye schedule, or for that matter, Michigan's, is going to upset that rosy scenario?
Funny you'd bring that up. 1998, Ohio State was headed for a national championship, it did seem. They had the best team in the country, the most talented team, one of the great quarterbacks in history, one of the great wide receivers. And lo and behold, a 4-4 Michigan State team came into Ohio Stadium and upset Ohio State, 28-24. Ohio State plays Michigan State this year at Michigan State, this weekend.
Oh, so that might.
And in 1974, ladies and gentlemen, Ohio State went to Michigan State, was undefeated, number one in the country, and was upset by Michigan State at Michigan State.
All right, enough of that. The Buckeyes are pretty huge in Ohio, as big as any of the professional teams in the state, maybe bigger. Why is that, do you think?
Because it's the central, it's the big school. It was here before the Cleveland Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals even thought about existing, and as I like to tell people, the media up and around the Cleveland area cover the Cleveland Browns, and the media down around the Cincinnati area cover the Cincinnati Bengals, but all the media in the state covers Ohio State football and Ohio State basketball, for that matter.
Is this the apex? I mean, we're currently watching a TV show, before that a movie, and then before that a best-selling book, Friday Night Lights, about football in Texas.
I grew up in Texas. So.
I couldn't tell because of the accent.
Sorry about that. I'm part of that demographic, that diverse demographic of Ohio.
Is there an analogy to here in Ohio? Is Ohio State the apex of this football culture in this state?
This is going to sound weird, but I think high school football is the big deal in Texas, and I think college football and especially Ohio State football is a big deal in Ohio. It's interesting, but they both care about it in just almost obscene ways. the town I grew up in, Lufkin, was on national television the other night playing Longview on a Fox, if you can say that, a television a game, national television. They're going to be on again in 3 weeks. It's pretty strange.
Well, we're talking with Tim May of the Columbus Dispatch, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Ohio State football has certainly had some problems over the years. I bet I can get almost everybody in this room to hiss as I mention the name of Maurice Clarett. He was the star running back the last time OSU won the national title. It now looks like he's going to spend the next few years not in the NFL, but in prison.
They didn't hiss. They kind of groaned.
Yeah, well, in any case, there are all kinds of problems that have allegations, anyway, that have been alleged against OSU. And, of course, it's not alone.
Yeah, I mean, you have a big-time program. You're going to have problems from time to time. You look around the country, Alabama, USC, Texas right on down the line. Florida had them a long time ago. Alabama especially had a famous case several years ago with a kid involving a kid named Albert Means who got in trouble because a big-time booster in Memphis gave him money to go to Alabama. I mean, anytime you have a big-time program, you have people hanging around it, and that goes for, like, boosters. And also, in this day and age, big-time situation with the agents hanging around players and offering all kinds of inducements and stuff. And it's not just Ohio State, but everywhere else. But, you know, Ohio State kind of cleaned up its act, if, in fact, it needed to clean up much of its act after the Maurice Clarett situation. It was not found liable for any problem program-wide or school-wide, but obviously the Maurice Clarett is now sitting in a prison somewhere and doing his time for other problems.
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of credibility.
No, but I tell you what, Ohio State people are quick to throw him off the bus, but he scored the winning touchdown for the 2002 national championship. You can't rewrite history.
But given some of those problems that you've talked about, and there are others, no-show jobs and all that sort of thing, what does big-time college football have to do with college anymore?
Well, I'm not sure if it's as pervasive as you throw it out there to be. I mean, you know, any more than is Mark Foley is he the be-all and end-all of congressmen? I'm not sure. You've always had associated with big-time college athletics. Soon as recruiting started back in the early 1900s, you're going to have problems. I mean, because you're trying to induce a kid to go to this school instead of that school. You're trying to get a kid who lives in Florida to go to a school in Texas, or a kid who lives in Texas to go to a school in Ohio, or a kid in Ohio to stay in Ohio and not go to Michigan. You're always going to have people involved that maybe aren't looking out for the better interests of the university.
Mm-hmm. If a kid from Ohio does go to Michigan, he's going to have trouble crossing the state line coming back.
Yeah, but there have been quite a few that have done it. Desmond Howard, everybody remember that name? He won the Heisman Trophy from Cleveland.
Now we got a hiss.
Yeah, he did the Heisman pose after they beat Ohio State in 1992.
Well, what is it between the Buckeyes and the Wolverines? How did it start? It's a huge deal.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the war between the two states, and it's basically bragging rights is what it's all about. I mean, pride is what drives most rivalries, and this was a situation, as in a lot of the rivalries, it started out really bad for one side, which was Ohio State. I think Ohio State went 0-9-1 or something like that the first 10 times they played Michigan. So they've always – the Ohio State side has always had a chip on its shoulder and has been trying to fight back. And, of course, during the Woody Hayes years, he changed all that. I think he went 16-9-1 or something like that against Michigan. John Cooper went 2-10-1 after he followed Darryl Bruce, who went 5-4. And Earl Bruce's final – his swan song as the Ohio State coach after he was fired the week before the Michigan game was getting his troops ready to go up and beat Michigan at Michigan, which hadn't been done in a while. And now you've got Jim Tressel, who – one of the first things he said to the Ohio State fans when he showed up was how much the Michigan game meant to him. He knew to the minute how long it was before they played Michigan. And since then, he's gone 4-1, and now the people up at Michigan are going, is Lloyd Carr – the answer. Well, Lloyd Carr still has a winning record against Ohio State, so that's how fickle football is.
All right, prediction right now. Who's going to win that Ohio State-Michigan game?
Ohio State-Michigan game? I think it's a long ways down the road, but it appears Ohio State is the number one team in the country, and for a lot of the right reasons. And on top of that, the game is going to be played in Ohio Stadium on November the 18th with possible national championship implications. You'd have to think Ohio State's got the edge.
Boy, that's going to be controversial in this crowd. Tim May, thanks very much for being with us.
I'm
appreciate
not
your time.
Yeah.
He lives here, too. He covers Ohio State football for the Columbus Dispatch and with us here in the COSI Center. Talk of the Nation is produced by Becky Villamas. Gwen Uten and Sarah Handel directed this program. Our technical director, Kimberly Jones, who gets help from Linda Mack, Cal Southworth, Rob Byers, and Vahan Baladuni back in Washington. Talk of the Nation's theme music was composed by Greg Smith. Our senior producer is Carlene Watson. Sue Goodwin is the executive producer of Talk of the Nation. We'd also like to give special thanks to Jane Scott from the Columbus Metropolitan Club and the folks from member station WOSU, Tom Ryland, Tim Eby, Sharon Feinblatt, and Carl Higginbotham. Also thanks to Dave Chesbrough from the COSI for his help from the Battelle Studio at WOSU at COSI. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Columbus, Ohio.